Welcome to the intersection of technology, cybersecurity, and society. Welcome to ITSP Magazine Podcast Radio. Join us on our journey into the past, the present, and the future as we explore the relationship between technology and humanity. Together, we are going to find out what it means to live in a society where everything is connected and the only constant is change. Knowledge is power, now more than ever. Black Cloak provides concierge cybersecurity protection to corporate executives and high net worth individuals to protect against hacking, reputational loss, financial loss, and the impacts of a corporate data breach. Learn more at blackcloak.io.
All right, Marco.
Sean. When, are you ready for the future?
I'm ready for the future, but I'm wondering when the last time you escaped the net.
Oh, we're going back then?
We're going back.
Is this an episode of Way Back Then? And
Way Back, the Netscape? Way Back Machine.
The Way Back Machine. This is actually, it's the Way Forward Machine, in my opinion.
It is
the Way Forward. It's about our life in our society. It's... the name of the channel is The Cyber Society, and the big question is, are we realizing that we're already living in the future, and are we prepared for it? And I know it's a big question. We're going to keep asking it. I don't expect an exact answer, but we invite as many people as we can to get different perspective on the matter.
Exactly. I mean, the future is upon us. We're in it. Some are living it more than others, but I suspect... most everybody has some digital something or other, even if it's just an app on their phone, right? So we're gonna dig into that.
Even if it's just a phone, you can start from the phone if you want.
We can start the phone. Mine has a big dial on it with numbers. It starts with zero, but
a rotary.
It has a rotary, but this is all about privacy, which could potentially lead to safety. We don't always connect the two. I think we need to do that more often. But we have a fabulous guest on from Mozilla, Jen Caldwrighter. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Hi, it's great to be here.
It's great to have you. So how about we start with from the beginning, which is a little introduction about yourself. And for those that cannot go back all the way to, you know, Netscape and Mozilla, how you got started, what Mozilla is doing now. And the word is up. It's for you.
All right. Well, Mozilla is a nonprofit tech company. For those of you that have ever used the Firefox web browser or familiar with it at all, it's a tech company, but it's not a tech company like Google or Facebook that's trying to make a profit. It's a nonprofit. And we have two kind of elements to Mozilla. We have the Mozilla Foundation, which is where I work. And we're the do-gooders. It's our job to go out into the world and do good and try and make the internet better for everybody. And then there's the corporation side, which is the product side. It makes Firefox and it makes hubs. It has a VPN and things like that. And it's trying to make the internet better too, but it's focused more on products. And so I have a background in, I actually worked at CNN for a while back in the day. After I got done studying artificial intelligence, randomly, I worked on my master's degree in artificial intelligence before I worked at CNN and covered technology at a really interesting time at the end of the 90s and early 2000s. But eventually, I left the corporate world and went into the nonprofit world, where I became a professional do-gooder, it's my job to try and help people help make the internet better. And that's what I do at Mozilla right now. And as part of that, I make a guide, a buyer's guide called Privacy Not Included, where we review the privacy and security of connected products. And we started about 4 years ago. Last November, we released our fourth version of the guide. It's at privacynotincluded.org if you're interested in finding it. And we reviewed 136 connected products across seven categories. So things like smart speakers, fitness trackers, Pelotons, all kinds of things, even pet products. We reviewed them and looked specifically just at the privacy and security. So you can go to Wirecutter, Consumer Reports, or wherever to learn about a product and how reliable it's going to be or what the features are. But if you want to know more about the privacy of a product, that's what our virus guide is for.
Yeah, and so many questions. I'm going to start off with this one, Jen, which is, do we even think consumers will research a product before they buy it? I think, well, my personal experience or exposure to this is people are very price sensitive. I want it cheap and I want it now. Just get it to me. Either it's shipped overnight for free or I pick it up curbside and I got a really good deal on it. And who cares about its connectivity and its privacy and all that kind of stuff, right? So how often or how much is the consumer aware, based on your experience putting this guide together, that privacy is something they should consider when making their purchase decision?
Well, the beautiful things about consumers is they're all of us, right? Like, we're all consumers. Everybody consumes. And they're a diverse group. You know, some people really care and they get really into it and they won't ever buy anything from Google because of it. And then there's other people that care a little bit. And then there's people that just don't care at all and they're not going to be bothered. And I think our goal as people that think about this a lot, right, is to move as many people from the category of people that just don't care into the category of people that are a little bit more aware. At least that's what I try and do and think of it. You know, I think of my mom, she cares. She knows she should care at least, but she doesn't know how to care. And companies certainly don't make it easy for people to understand how they can care. And, you know, if you go back and look at polling, when you ask people about, oh, do you care about the privacy online? And everybody's like, oh, yeah, I care about privacy online. But then you ask people what they do about it and they're like, shrug, I don't know. You know, I'm not real sure. And I think that's the problem, right? A lot of consumers do want to care. It's just really hard for them to do it. And it's our job to either A, make it easier for them, or even better, push the companies to make it so it's not so hard for people to understand.
Yeah. And is there, I have this little nagging thing in my head that obviously we're in the midst of something else where somebody not caring about something can impact others. Is that true for connected IoT devices and privacy? For example, I don't care that I have an Alexa in my home and whether it listens to me or not, but it also listens to guests, assuming I had guests over, which I don't either. But so privacy, where I make a decision for myself and my own setting and then others come into it or I take it out into the rest of the world. Is there an issue with it impacting others by not caring about privacy?
Well, when you asked that question, the first thing that came to my mind was, you know, it's all about supply and demand, right? If people are buying products that don't prioritize privacy, then why should companies prioritize privacy, right? And if people say, wait a minute, I'm not gonna use the Facebook portal because Facebook is the worst company when it comes to privacy, you know, but I really want one of those like video cameras that I can put in my grandma's home because I really miss her and I want to talk to her. So maybe I'll look at, you know, Apple makes one. I mean, not Apple, but Amazon makes one. Is Amazon good with privacy? Google makes one. Is Google good with privacy? Are there other options out there? And I think, you know, to your question, I think the biggest way that consumers can have a positive impact versus a negative impact is saying, I'm only going to buy products from companies that say they prioritize privacy a little bit more than other companies. I don't know if that was exactly kind of the question you were asking, but when I think about, you know, what harms and what helps consumers voting with their dollars, I think is probably the most powerful thing we can do.
Yeah, I agree. I think that the question that I often ask myself is kind of what you said at the beginning. Everybody cares about privacy. I mean, I think there's only a few people that say, okay, I'm okay living in a home made of glass. The problem is the knowledge that we have about how privacy can be infringed nowadays. And I'm not just saying in terms of people taking advantage of it from an illegal perspective, but as you say, it's the market. So data is important, data has value, let's collect everything we can. And so how we educate people, that's the big question. How we educate, and I can totally align with you trying to explain my parents that they know how to use a little bit of, you know, a smartphone and everything out. Like every time that something pop up, you ask me and you know, and then we go from there. But not everybody has that kind of research. So I think that organizations like yours are extremely important. But what is everybody else doing about it? You know, I mean, what are we lacking? How we got here and we didn't see it coming?
It's fun. I mean, convenience. You know, who hasn't had fun with some of these connected things that we really enjoy, you know? Or, you know, I mean, if you think of, you know, we're in the middle of a pandemic and how they've become even more of a necessity. I think of like the Pelotons, for example, and these connected workout machines that are, you know, you can't find them right now. They're selling out as quickly as they can make them because people can't go to the gym and they want to work out, but they don't want to work out alone because, ugh, you know, that's hard. That's hard to motivate yourself. So, you know, when you can connect to a person somewhere else in the world and ride a bike or go for a run or row, you know, it's great. And so, you know, how we got here is, you know, it's fun. It's good. It's you know, I'll date myself a little bit, but I grew up watching the Jetsons and, you know, I want somebody to clean my house and cook my food. Those were the promises I had as a kid. We don't have that, but I can sit on a mountaintop where I live in Colorado and talk to anybody anywhere in the world right now. And that's amazing. And so, I don't think people should ever feel bad for wanting to use connected devices and toys and have fun and you know, enjoy the convenience and the fun of this. That's not how I approach it. There'll be no shaming for me. But the problem is it's, you know, once you've kind of, I might be giving up some privacy, sure, but it's worth it. You know, I'm going for a bike ride in, you know, the Swiss Alps, and that's pretty cool. You know, and I think that's how we got there is, and people, you know, people see a lot more reward than they see problems right now. You know, we talk about the problems of privacy, but most people don't really experience them on a daily basis, not in any way that they're experiencing, you know, big problems like, you know, lack of healthcare or unemployment or things like that. And so it's just really hard to get people to take action when they're like, it's probably maybe going to bite me in the butt someday, but I'm okay right now.
Yeah, no, I love that approach because we always, especially in this industry, in this community, we always kind of bitching about the security issues, but we rarely talk, as you just mentioned, about all the advantage of it, all the benefit that we get from, you know, even having internet connected devices that check on your health on a daily basis. Sure, maybe a risk, but maybe the benefit is higher than the risk, and it all depends on understanding that, and I think making that educated decision. So what you guys are doing, I think, is excellent. And I was kind of scrolling through all the 100 plus items that you review. You want to give us some case study? I mean, we don't care about the name of the brand, but kind of like categories that are maybe more risky than others, or something that may be a little bit more affecting your privacy than others?
Well, you know, I'll speak from my personal experience. Last year, I wanted to buy a fitness tracker. And, you know, I'm getting healthy, I'm exercising, and I want to be able to track my steps and my heart rate and my stress level and how I sleep. And that's a lot of personal data that these fitness trackers collect, right? I mean, if you think about it, like everything from, you know, your period to, you know, how well you slept to how stressed out you are. These are some of our most personal, you know, kind of biometric measurements. And so I was like, you know, I'm not a crazy privacy person, but I am a privacy researcher. So I said, okay, there's a lot of fitness trackers out there. How am I going to go about this? And, you know, I looked into them and I knew Fitbit was popular. I also knew that Google was buying them and Google's business model is collecting a lot of data. You know, Apple has a pretty decent track record with privacy, but I don't have an iPhone. There's a bunch of fitness trackers out there. I ended up going with Garmin because Garmin seemed to have the right set of features that I wanted in the price range I wanted, but it also prioritized privacy, I felt, more than other companies. So that's what I bought. So if you're thinking about fitness trackers, you know, they're a really good example of this because they collect so much data. And, you know, what are companies going to do with that data? On the flip side, you've got Amazon last year came out with their own fitness tracker called the Amazon Halo. And it's not like a watch that you wear on your wrist that tells you your time or gives you any feedback. It's literally a band of sensors with no feedback, no face on it at all, that you strap on your wrist, and it tracks everything from, you know, steps and stress and sleep like normal, but it also it listens to you. And listens and tells you what your tone is at any given time. So you could have a meeting with your boss and it, you know, be like afterwards, like your tone on this was rather strident. You know, you might want to adjust that. And that just seems weird to me that Amazon is now the tone police. One, because who made Amazon the tone police? Are they the best people to tone police us? But also, where was the demand for that? Like I didn't see any consumer demand out there for a fitness tracker that would listen to me and tell me if I was being loud or not. So I asked, well, if there's not a lot of consumer demand, why did Amazon make this? Well, Amazon likes to know as much about people as they possibly can so they can sell you stuff. And so it just didn't feel right. The other thing Amazon does with the Amazon Halo is they ask you to upload a picture of yourself in your underwear, so they can determine your body fat composition and tell you if you need to lose weight. And I don't know about you guys, but I'm not giving Amazon a picture of me in my underwear, even though they claim that they're going to like delete it immediately and never use it and everything like that. I was like, no, I'm good.
But you get a $5 to use on your next purchase.
Yeah. I don't know why they just didn't grab it from my Twitter feed anyway.
Right.
You must use it.
Oh, yeah. Because you always post a naked picture of you. I know.
Yeah. But I don't know. That was a weird one to me.
Yeah. It sounds a little creepy, to be honest. On a scale from 1 to 10, creepy. It's 10.
Well, are companies creating the need, creating the market? And I don't know. Are they looking to create and then fulfill a need for a consumer, or are they really only focused on their business model? Do we know?
I work for a nonprofit, so it's really hard for me to answer that question. And I work for a nonprofit by choice because I like being able to wake up every day. And the question I ask myself is this good for the world? I think that the corporations and people that work for corporations don't have that luxury. I think they have to ask themselves, is this going to make us money? Is this going to earn our stockholders money? And that's what they're beholden to. And, you know, that's the society we live in. And so, yeah, I don't know that Amazon is thinking about much more than how they can make money, and they make money by collecting data and selling products. So, yeah.
So there's two parts to this that I want to explore a bit more, which the first is, are we oversensitive to privacy? My sleep data. Do I really care if somebody has it? And I think I know where I would go with this personally, but so there's that data. It resides on a device, maybe in an app, but then it's collected by somebody where it gets even more, and they may use it for their own commercial purposes that maybe in turn helps me. But beyond that, then there's they share it with others, perhaps, or it gets lost or stolen and it makes it into a broader set of data, which then it becomes even more interesting, right? So my sleep data with something else, somebody might know when I'm asleep and might choose to take some certain action or change my health records or whatever. So I don't, where does the, is there a creepy line? Are we oversensitive in some points, or is it justified because of the string of stuff that I just explained?
Well, the creepiness is an interesting thing, right? You know, and on Privacy Not Included, we actually, on every product page, we have a creepometer where we ask users, hey, rate how creepy you think this product is. And it's really fascinating to see how people rate products. They do a pretty good job of rating the creepy ones really creepy and rating the not creepy ones not so creepy. And you know, it's interesting, you like using the sleep data, for example, right? Like, oh, well, so what if somebody knows that I tossed and turned last night? Like, what could happen? And it's interesting because probably not a lot. And that's the reality for most of us. But, you know, you guys like to talk about the future, and could the future, though, become, you know, health insurance companies have access to your sleep data, and they know if you're not sleeping, and they know that you've been stressed, and they know that that's more likely to cause you to be unhealthy. And so they raise your rates, charge you more, or require you to go to a sleep class. And that's where we cross over into creepy, right? Like, I don't want some corporation's bottom line, you know, dictating if I, you know, must buy a weighted blanket to sleep better, you know. And then that's another thing. Amazon could learn I'm not sleeping well and try and sell me a weighted blanket. That's slightly creepy, but not super creepy. My health insurance company forcing me to take a go to a sleep class because I'm not sleeping, or they'll raise my rates a lot. That's getting creepier. And we're not there yet, and we may never get there, but we're heading in that direction in a lot of ways. I mean, how many people put the little dongles in their cars to prove that they drive safe so they can get lower rates? So yeah, it's coming. We just don't know when, where, or how.
All right, so let's go back to the Jetsons and in the future at the same time. Because, you want to have the cars that come to you and come and pick you up. But if you don't tell where you are...
I only want it if it flies to me. It has to fly to pick me up.
But how does the car knows where you are?
Well, maybe it just knows. It's embedded.
Maybe just wait for an entire year until she finds... I call it she. I just decided the car is an Italian thing, is a female. Now, I think, and that's what I would like from you, because I know you started artificial intelligence, and you analyze this thing. You love to work for a nonprofit because there is really not something that you're forced not to think about. I think it's exciting to always ask questions and dig into things. So more and more, I wonder, are we going to redefine the concept of privacy as we move along, as we want so much more from our devices? Do we need to redefine what privacy is? Do we need a new social contract on how we interact with each other and with technology and companies? Maybe that they do need to, let you know exactly what this product is going to do instead of having you to do this crazy research and then you can't really figure it out. I mean, I've done my research and sometimes I'm like, I have no idea. I'm just going to trust the company, as you did. Yeah, you know, as you said, you know, you went with Garmin because you trusted. I may go with Apple because I trust Apple. But so are we all opening up maybe a little bit more with this privacy idea instead of locking our, you know, closing our window every night before we go to bed?
Well, you know, I always like to look back at how the car industry changed the world, Blake, right? You remember, like, cars came out in, what, the late 1800s, early 1900s, and, you know, only a few people could have them. And if you owned them, you had to really know how to fix them and work on them, and you were constantly doing it. And that's kind of like technology was, right? Like, back in the day, you know, the only people that really had computers were ones that kind of really knew how to use them. And then cars evolved. And, you know, by the 50s, you know, everybody had to have a car, and interstates were built all across the country. But then people started dying, right? Like, in mass. And then by the 70s and 80s, they're like, maybe people are dying too fast. We should do something about this. And what do we do? We had car manufacturers install seat belts. And then the government required us to wear them. And gosh golly, people died less in car crashes. And, you know, if you think about where we are with technology, we're still, you know, we're not to the 50s equivalent yet, or we're at the 50s equivalent yet, but we're not to the 70s and 80s equivalent yet. I think we kind of, you know, it's a great thing, you know, just like cars were a great thing. It gave us independence and the ability to go places. But now we're learning, oh, there's all these repercussions from that. And I think most certainly we're going to have to stop as humans and be like, okay, how do we solve these problems that we didn't foresee arising? And I think privacy is a great one, because, you know, if you go back to the, you know, you've got your flying car coming to pick you up and they need to know where you're at and where you're going, that's personal information about you. But what if you could say, I'll tell you where I'm at and I'll tell you where I'm going. And then as soon as I get there, I'm going to delete that information because I control my personal information. The company doesn't control my personal information. And that maybe is kind of like putting seatbelts in cars, right? Is giving people back the control of their personal data so that the companies don't own it, you own it. And though I'm sure companies will still incentivize, well, hey, if you let us keep it, you know, your ninth ride is free. And people will probably choose to do that. People that have more money are able to be more private than people that have less money, and that probably won't change. But I think that's what I would like to see happen in the future is if people take back control of their personal data, they control it, they own it, they decide what the companies get to have and what they don't. And then we won't have this maybe out of control situation where companies are getting all this information and then, you know, learning how to manipulate our emotions with it.
So many thoughts in my head. But as we get to the close to the end here, what I'd like to do, Jen, is kind of maybe bring it up a level and look to the future again. So I know you have this Privacy Not Included guide, and that's a great way to bring transparency to some of the things we all live with and around. And I can see consumers finding that very interesting. Certainly the manufacturers with their devices on there might find it interesting. But beyond that, and this is where I want to lead to your work and your broader team's work at EFF, what do we have to do beyond, I know the guide's a great place to start, in my opinion. What do we have to do and what are you doing? What's the future hold for you, Jen, and your team and the greater Mozilla as a nonprofit looking to do good for a greater, safer internet? What does the future hold for us?
Good question. What does the future hold for us? And I don't know, after this last year, you know, is it even safe to try and look to the future? Because does any of us know what's coming? it's a daunting question right now, I'm not going to lie. I can tell you kind of a short-term thing. I'm going to keep doing the buyer's guide. For Valentine's Day, I'm going to review sex toys, connected sex toys, and dating apps. And if you want to talk about something where people give up a lot of information, dating apps is designed for people to give up a lot of personal information, a whole lot of it. But beyond that, I think, you know, our world is getting ruled by these algorithms, right? You know, these people that write code, that create the algorithms that dictate, you know, who gets matched with who on a dating app or how much you're going to pay for your car insurance, things like that. And, you know, I know one of the things that we're looking at Mozilla is how do we create trustworthy AI that, you know, is built with ethics in it. It's built ethically. It's built so that you can trust it. You know what's going on. You know, a computer's making decisions for you, but you know how and why they're making those decisions. And as more and more of our world gets controlled by these algorithms, I think that's where we really need to be looking. And then, you know, going back to the data, you know, people controlling their own data versus, you know, having companies control it and making as much money off of it as possible. I think those two things are going to be the things that we really need to think about in the future. But that's the future is like right now we've got a misinformation, disinformation problem on the internet that's being exacerbated by these algorithms. We've got a lot of problems that we really need to think about, and hopefully we'll get to them. Hopefully we'll have the brain space. Hopefully we'll come out of this kind of dark time that we've been in and have new ways of looking at things and willing to tackle them. That's my hope for the future. As far as anybody can see it right now.
Yeah, and I think we can easily align with that as a publication, because that's what we do constantly, and to try to give enough information for people to ask questions, to come up with their answer. And honestly, I think that what you said about controlling your own privacy in a way that you control your data, so you open it, instead of having to opt in, opt out, and having to request to be deleted and forgotten, I think if that's, we can automate that, you control that. And so you become not just a passive user, but an active user. Instead of technology controlling what we do, I think we have more to say as consumer, as we are all consumers. And I think we need to just empower ourselves a little bit more and know that we can make a difference eventually. So with that, I hope the audience got some question in their mind. If they do, feel free to comment on social media if you want to know more about things. We have a bunch of links and resources in the notes for this podcast. And Jen, great conversation. I definitely would like to catch up with you again with some more, maybe Valentine's Day. Sounds that could be a fun episode. And good luck. Good luck with that. And anytime. Thank you.
Yep. Thanks, Jen. You made me think it's more than the data. It's also the algorithm. So I'll be thinking about that the rest of the day.
Thank you, guys. Thank you, guys, for having me.
Well, thanks a million.
Yeah, it's great to chat with you guys.
Black Cloak provides concierge cybersecurity protection to corporate executives and high-net-worth individuals to protect against hacking, reputational loss, financial loss, and the impacts of a corporate data breach. Learn more at blackcloak.io. We hope you enjoyed this conversation. If you learned something new and this story made you think, then share ITSPmagazine.com with your friends, family, and colleagues. If you represent a company and wish to associate your brand with our conversations, sponsor one or more of our podcast channels. We hope you will come back for more stories and follow us on our journey. You can always find us at the intersection of technology, cybersecurity, and society.